May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart, O Lord, please you this day. Amen. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Christmas Day has come and gone. Now, for many weeks, I know many of you have been very busy with preparations. There have been packages purchased and wrapped. There have been decorations put up. There have been menus and food planned and bought, travel plans made, all sorts of things like that, all for the object of getting together with family and friends for the celebration of Christmas. We often find ourselves reflecting on what remains after that celebration of Christmas. For many, there's a lot of joy in the celebration. It lingers on, and and we cherish those memories of the kids that we saw under the tree and the packages and the love that we felt and the family and the cherished times that we have had with our family and memories. And some of these may last for quite a while. Maybe even some of them stir a deeper desire for something more out of life, that something that outlasts the gifts and the decorations, and maybe it's that hope that is found in the manger. Now, all those words are nice, about what we hear about Christmas, and we see them on Christmas cards, and we see them on maybe a Career and Ives painting, but when it comes to the day after Christmas, to many, that means just the return to daily grind and a return to the current sinful world in which we live and the life that we have in it. I have heard some state that this was the greatest Christmas never. I know a couple that are in my weekly Bible class that just before Christmas this year lost both their son-in-law and their granddaughter. I can see their pain. I was with them visited with them, and the pain was there. But still, they were in church Christmas Day with me, celebrating the birth. I know of others, too, that find pain at that time of year. Perhaps you do, too. People who have lost a child, people who had a tragedy strike them, people that have something gone wrong. And Christmas means a sadness to them. The joy and warmth of Christmas can quickly give way to really the harsh realities of this world. And for some, these memories, really make Christmas a sad, sad part of their life. Now, in the readings just prior to today's gospel, we recall there was the visit of the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. Now, these were all great, great things of joy. We were proclaiming joy, joy to the world. The shepherds were rejoicing. The angels were singing. And the wise men came to honor the newborn king. All wonderful things, wonderful, exciting things. But then in today's reading, look what happens. Joseph and his family have to flee to Egypt to avoid being killed by Herod. And Herod, in his rage, goes out and kills the children two and under in the Bethlehem in that area. Now, that would make things seem to be back to normal, wouldn't it? Where we hear about the tyranny and the death and the murders every day and the injustice. And evil, again, is winning and in charge. But, in the midst of these tragedies, the message of Christmas is not diminished, but really deepened. The story of the children and Joseph and Mary fleeing to Egypt reminds us that God does not promise us an escape from suffering, but he does promise us his presence and guidance through it. Luther wrote, "We resist evil with the ministry of the word and the sword, and yet the evils which cannot be averted we bear to our great advantage, but to their detriment and destruction. Accordingly, God humbles those that are his in order to exalt them. He kills them to make them alive. Even when our hearts ache, our faith is tested, the light of Christmas continues to shine, offering assurances that we are never, never alone. Now, something was really different on this first Christmas morning, Christmas Day. It had been predicted by Micah some 700 years before it ever happened. In Micah 5, we read, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel." Now, not only was the birth of Jesus predicted, but Herod's actions were also predicted in the New Testament. In Jeremiah, we read, "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." But the best prophecy of all in Christmas, we find in Genesis 3. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In these words, God gave us a promise, a hope of redemption. Now, we had eaten the forbidden fruit. We have ignored the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and our certain future was going to be eternal death. But in this small, unremarkable child in a manger, in a little town, in the desert, really, we now have the Almighty God coming as a man. And things begin to change immediately. First, we note, we can now see God. Before that, no one had ever seen God before. If you remember, the closest thing we had was Moses walking, wanting to see God, and he said, "Okay, but you can only see my butt." And he hid his head and he walked past him. And to see God's face was death. But now, to see God's face is life. Herod's plans for total rule and domination were also foiled that day. Tyrants in the past, now or in the future, they've all been defeated by this birth. Christ lives. He sits at the Father's right hand, and he is in charge of this world. Because he sends us his Holy Spirit, attitudes are changed. Both the shepherds and the wise men go out rejoicing and spreading the word of his birth, instead of just taking it for their own and hoarding it. He causes Mary and Joseph to protect the infant child. Now, that's kind of silly, because that child is God himself, and he could have called down legions of angels to protect himself. But God has a plan. Note that Rachel laments the loss of the children, but she doesn't despair. She doesn't despair. Our Lord is now on his first missionary trip. He's going to Egypt. And he has already shed his blood for us on the eighth day with his circumcision. All of these things point to God fulfilling his promise in Genesis. 1 John reads, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Now, at this part of the sermon, you may very well be asked, "Oh, that's really interesting and neat, Vicar, but just what does it mean to me today?" To answer that question, I'll ask a question that was asked by Solomon. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and earth, and heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less than this house that I have built?" Now, that question was answered in the affirmative on Christmas Day in the stable. What more do we need to believe that God is among us, always? He is as near as a prayer. He is easily found in his word, as spoken and written. He is found when his servant announces the absolution of sin. He is seen in your baptism. He is seen in the Holy Supper. He is with us forever. And it's acts, and you can reach him forever. His true body and blood, he is seen in the wonders, both, but he is seen in both the wonders and terrors of this world. Yet some do not see him at all. The prophet Zephaniah saw him some 600 years plus before the first Christmas. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt you with loud singing. Now God is present in both our celebrations and our hardships. The message of Christmas does not end with a single day, but carries on every season of life, young, old, in between. Through the trials that follow the festivities, the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, remains steadfast, offering comfort and hope to anyone that accepts his name, and it transcends all our circumstances so that we can easily say, this is the greatest Christmas ever. And you can be assured that Jesus loves you and is with you. And now, may the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in his true word until life everlasting. Amen.